Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Following the message today, we are going to confess the Apostles' Creed. And in that creed, we believe and we confess the forgiveness of sins. But I wonder this morning, do we really believe in the forgiveness of sins? And if that's the case, then why do we suffer under the weight of guilty conscience instead of accepting God's free grace? And if we believe in the forgiveness of sins, then why do we have grudges against other people? Why do we cut them out of our lives when they hurt us, or they offend us, or they disappoint us too many times? And if we really, really believe in the forgiveness of sins, then why do we say things like this? I forgive him, but I won't forget. Or I may have to love her, but I don't have to like her. Any of you said, maybe some of you have said these things before. Maybe you've heard them said. The novelist C.S. Lewis writes these words. I find them rather fascinating. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. We may say that we believe in the forgiveness of sins, but there are many people in the world that are looking for a loophole, a way to get around that command to love our enemies and to forgive those who sinned against us. They would rather write them off and run them out of their lives than take the time or make the attempt to reconcile with that person or save the relationship that they have with that person. And do I dare say today that sometimes we too may act that same way? We want to set limits on our love, which is why Simon Peter comes to Jesus in our gospel lesson today. And he says, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And just before that gospel reading, Jesus had given his disciples instructions on how to handle conflict in very healthy ways. In fact, that was our gospel lesson from last week. He said that if your brother sins against you, you go and talk to that one person one-on-one, face-to-face. How? Between you and him alone. But Peter, in our lesson today, wants to know what's a reasonable expectation. How many times should I deal with my brother who offends me? How many times will he sin against me and I will have to go to him and try to work things out? How long before I finally just give up and go on about my life? As many as seven times, Peter asks. And like Peter, many of us, you know, we're looking for a guideline, a limit to how far he must go, we must go in that relationship business. As many as seven times? When you think about that, Peter doesn't seem, or he seems like he's lacking in a lot of generosity. But actually, Peter's quite generous in that seven times statement. Because the rabbis in the days of Jesus said that you only had to forgive somebody three times. And on that fourth time, you could write them off as a dirty, rotten scoundrel. And so when Peter asks that he must forgive seven times, he's trying to look very generous, very righteous in his forgiveness. And no doubt he expects Jesus to give him a pat on the back. Wow, seven times. But that's not enough. Not seven times, Jesus says, but 70 times seven. Seven times is not enough. We must forgive as many as 70 times seven. And that doesn't mean 490 times, by the way. That would be a lot. But the point is that there is no limit to forgiveness. No matter how many times Our brother or sister sins against us, we are, and we must always be ready to willing and willing to forgive them. Forgiveness is something that we give away. It's like paying it forward. Our Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Pastor Allman, what's the next statement? Forgiving how many? Forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Our Lord expects us to forgive others as He has forgiven us, fully, freely, unconditionally, and more importantly, without limit. So in the parable that Jesus tells, we witness the terrible consequences that happen to the unforgiving servant, who was a wicked man, who was only forgiven, he was forgiven a very large amount of money, a large debt. And yet, when he goes out and finds the servant who owes him very little, he is not willing to forgive him. He is not willing to show mercy. And when that king found out about that servant's terrible lack of mercy, he hands him over to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Which, of course, he's never going to be able to do that. And then at the end of this passage, Jesus gives all of us a very stern warning. So also your heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. And it's because of that overwhelming mercy and grace that God has towards us that we must be willing to do the same and to extend that same kind of mercy to the others that we come in contact with. Again, the king says to that unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18, the gospel reading, verses 32 and 33, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt that because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And if I was to ask you that question, of course, the answer would be yes, absolutely. He should have had mercy on his fellow servant. He was very despicable not to forgive that fellow servant. Why? Because it is God's forgiveness that's supposed to change us. That king showed overwhelming compassion, and that compassion should have transformed the heart of that wicked servant. And we hear these words in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And that, my dear friends, is what should be motivating us. God has forgiven our sins, and now we need to be showing that same kind of love to others. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's all well and good. But, you know, Jesus adds some more to that. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, he says this, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, God has forgiven us much, much more than we could ever forgive anyone else. He's forgiven us our sins, for we do daily sin much. And that's why Luther says we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. Now let's be real clear about it. That's hard to do, isn't it, in our lives? But there are no ifs, there are no ands, and there are no buts about it. As Jesus plainly puts it, if we refuse to forgive others, we will not be forgiven. Our Lord Jesus couldn't be plainer about it. So, if there are those of you out there, including myself, we'd rather bear a grudge than forgive, if we would rather harbor resentment against other people instead of reconciling with them, then guess what? It's like us building a prison around ourselves. And if we don't repent of our ungrace and dig up the root of bitterness and time, there's only one place we'll end up, and that is in hell, in the hell of fire. Forgiveness is a very serious business. As Jesus might even put it, it's deadly serious. Now, in a few minutes, when we finish this message, we're going to be confessing the Apostles' Creed. And in it, that we're going to say that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. And this morning, I want to encourage all of us to really think about what we are saying and asking ourselves in our hearts, are we really, truly meaning what we say? And then we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But let us be very careful on our answer to this question. If God really were to forgive us in the same way that we forgive others, how might that turn out for us? Now, when it comes to forgiving others, I know, me personally, I need quite a bit more of God's forgiveness myself. I know that there have been times in my life that I have been just like that miser, unwilling, unforgiving servant. And so as I was preparing this message and as I read that parable, I think of myself there also. There, but for the grace of God, go I. But then we hear these words from the book of Romans. And I have three passages I want to share with you this morning. First, Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, what did Christ do? He died for us. And then in Romans 5, verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, so much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And finally, from Romans 5, verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And needless to say, that includes every one of us who have gathered here this morning. Christ did die for the ungodly. He died for all the wicked servants. Christ died for you. He died for me. And that's the only reason that we can even begin to move towards forgiving others. If we are able to forgive at all, it's because we have been forgiven. Because thanks to Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, we all know how it feels to have our debts canceled, our credit restored, our relationship with God renewed. It is my belief this morning that in the end, isn't that what we really want with the people that we are mad at? Not a break in the relationship, and certainly not a breakup, but rather a healing and a forgiveness. And for all of you who gather here today, and for myself included, that is my hope and that is my prayer. And I would ask you to take a moment right now to consider, who is the brother or sister who has sinned against you? It may be another brother or a sister in Christ. It may be literally your own brother and sister, your biological relationship. It could be your parents. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your boss at work. It could be a husband or a wife. It could be the pastor or another church member. Or maybe it's a teacher or a coach or a friend. Or maybe it's your next door neighbor. Think of who that person is. And I would like you now to take time to picture them in your mind. Maybe even speak their name silently in your own heart. What chains of bitterness or anger or guilt or fear connect you to that person? What hurt, or maybe it is an insult that has gotten in the way of your relationship? Think about it very carefully. And now, let it go. Turn it over to God and let it go. And to do that, we need to pray. And I'm going to ask you now to join me in prayer. So let us bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we ask you this morning to take this bitterness away from us. Change my heart and teach me to love that person. Help me love and forgive them. Yes, Lord, bring them to repentance so that they too may receive forgiveness. And help us to be friends again. Help us to get along, if not for my sake, at least for Christ's sake. And for their sake also, dear Lord. But above all, Lord, have mercy on me. In his precious name, amen. And guess what, my dear friends? Thanks be to God, he will do it. And it is in his name, and in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we ask it. And the children of God, and the forgiven children of God said, Amen.